of the signature on the foreword for this strategy document. It's very small at the bottom. I've highlighted it. Hopefully you can see it. Signed and dated at the bottom of the presidential foreword on this document is not just Donald Trump's signature, but the month of May 2026, meaning this document was published publicly for all to see within the last 11 days. It is currently almost the end of May 11th, 2026. And this is the first I am seeing of it because I was doing research for something else. I also want to point out that while all of the foreword is just him talking about how great he is, at the very bottom here, it says our new U.S. counterterrorism strategy, meaning for 2026, is a return to common sense and peace through strength. As I said, after our first successful counterterrorism mission, just days after I was sworn back in office, if you hurt Americans or are planning to hurt Americans, quote, we will find you and we will kill you. While it is a ridiculous, almost exact Liam Neeson from the movie Taken quote, it does apply to what I'm about to show you. Lock in. I'm not going to read this whole document to you. It's very small print. I encourage you to look it up yourself. But I do want to point out that they talk very early on in the document about what the threats are. So they talk about what it was in 2025, and they decide that in 2026, there are three major types of terror groups, and they list them as follows. Number one, narco-terrorism and transnational gangs. Number two, legacy Islamist terrorists. And number three, violent left-wing extremists, including anarchists and anti-fascists. If you will note, that last group is very, very vague. It could include anarchists, it could include anti-fascists, and then it also includes just whoever they determine to be left-wing extremists. So, like, it's very hard to pin down who these people might be. They go on to say that with these three groups or types of terror groups, as they call them, we can defeat every single one of these groups, but the threat is significant and pervasive. Stay with me. You will find that the language throughout this, when it comes to talking about these quote-unquote left-wing violent extremists or however they're labeling them, is very, very vague, which I believe is purposefully done. That means they can change the definition whenever they want. They can accuse someone based on a loose-fitting definition that they can ebb and flow and shape into something that they want it to be with each and every individual that they feel is needing to be labeled with such a terrorist label. This is what they say they will do. So it says, in addition to cartels and Islamist terror groups, our national CT activities will also prioritize the rapid identification and neutralization of violent secular political groups whose ideology is anti-American, radically pro-transgender, and anarchist. We will use all the tools constitutionally available to us to map them at home, identify their members, map their ties to international organizations like Antifa, which doesn't make any sense because Antifa is not a thing, and use law enforcement tools to cripple them operationally before they can maim or kill the innocent. We will do the same with the state sponsors of such groups and those governments undertaking lethal plots on U.S. soil or against Americans anywhere. Not only does the individual who is speaking out need to be aware of that language, it reads so vaguely that it could even be applied to midterms. Because if you look at a politician and their platform, they might talk about being pro-LGBTQ, which includes pro-transgender rights and things like that. And then they also talk about the organizations that back them up, such as the state sponsors, what they call them. Could be anyone donating to a campaign or organizing with a campaign. This is not fearmonger content. You can say it is if you want, but I am telling you that this strategic document is outlined this way and is so vaguely written this way that they can choose to do anything that they want to do with law enforcement, as it points out, to the individual, to the political candidate, to the campaign, to the party they feel is wronging them. And as you read through the document, it gets even crazier because then things like this come up. They talk about new and deepening alliances between the far left and Islamists, i.e. the Red-Green Alliance. So they're painting.
Alex, thanks for having me. Before I start, wanted to pitch a couple of the products there for the listeners. The bovine colostrum has been fantastic. My mom had tremendous results, similar to the results your mom had with her hair and skin. Methylene blue, the mental clarity, the focus has been amazing. I just found that I just needed to up the dose a little bit from the recommendation, and then that really hit. So definitely helps to support the broadcast. Alex, the reason you're so successful and the reason so many people chime in is because you have the best guests. That does include Victor Boot, but I will reference the legendary Gerald Celente. What does he say time after time? When there's nothing left, they take us to war.
The bovine colostrum is incredible. The methylene blue, you fund us. You're our funders, not the Israelis or the Muslims or the Russians or the U.S. government. You fund us at thealexjonesstore.com. And the new news site for all the feeds and articles is alexjoneslive.com. And on Rumble, rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShow Live. We'll be right back.
Back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We showed you a video of a woman going through the new United States Counterterrorism Strategy 2026. Obviously, she's a leftist and says stuff I don't agree with, like Antifa doesn't exist. It obviously does. You know, it's just the most absurd thing ever. However, her concerns are legitimate, and the overreach capable of being justified by this new strategy is immense and troubling. And it would be different if the Trump administration had shown their willingness to actually protect America from the negative influences that we suffer under. I mean, he declared Antifa a domestic terrorist organization 6 months ago. Nothing's happened at all. They're only doing this for Israel. Yeah, same type of thing. Would I be in favor of the Trump administration, you know, denaturalizing people and deporting, you know, students from universities? I would, except that they're doing it on the basis of their support of Israel. So, you know, when they're like, oh, we're going to go after the LGBT extremist or whatever, half of me is like, yeah, people getting their lives destroyed because they're coerced into thinking they're transgender and, you know, horrible things happen. I'm in favor of that. I don't trust it. I don't trust any of it. I don't think it's how it's going to be used. I think it's all a setup, a giant setup. I think it's a scam. And I think that the already existing Israeli control grid here in America is simply being adopted officially by the United States government. And that's extremely terrifying because they call you a terrorist for telling the truth. They call you a terrorist for opposing what America's doing when it comes to what they're doing for Israel. In the statement that we just watched from Sebastian Gorka, he said things that might make you a terrorist or might make you left wing and not conservative are things like complimenting the level of freedom in places that aren't America. So if you look around America and go, this place sucks because of the policies of the left, and you look at Russia and go, hey, I can ride the Russian subway and not get stabbed, that makes you a terrorist? That makes you a terrorist, according to Sebastian Gorka, or at least put you under suspicion of it, which, again, is extremely troubling. If he's calling Nick Fuentes and Tucker Carlson terrorists because they're talk show hosts that disagree with Donald Trump and don't support America's endless suicidal devotion to the foreign state of Israel, that's insane. That's completely crazy and should not be accepted. And again, it's not just about what the government is capable of doing. It's about the infiltration of our government by these subversive elements that are simply making official the already existent control grid that they operate. So I said this a little while ago, in March of this year, but this gives you an idea of like what's already at work here in America. I said, if you criticize Israel anonymously on X, right, you're an anonymous account, doesn't have your name, nothing associated with you, but you criticize Israel, what happens? Well, The Israeli intelligence unit 8200 will get your information from the site's back end because they have agents working at X. They'll send it to an organization like Stop Anti-Semitism, who will call your bank and force them to drop you. Stop Anti-Semitism, the Canary Mission, there's dozens of these. If X doesn't comply, then the ADL will organize an advertiser boycott with the biggest corporations in the world to bankrupt them. If you want to sue X for kicking you off or sue your bank account for dropping you, good luck, as Laura Loomer puts it, quote, finding a law firm that doesn't have a Jewish partner. She put that out. She said, if, you know, Tucker Carlson wants to sue, good luck finding a law firm without a Jewish partner, which in and of itself is like very concerning. You're saying that no Jewish person will defend an American for free speech because they have a loyalty that's higher than that? That's not a good admission, but okay, moving on. Even if you manage to secure a lawyer and mount a case against a multi-million dollar pro bono lawyer provided by Jewish interest groups like Stand With Us or the Lawfare Project, Lawfare Project, they actually run a thing called the Lawfare Project. Okay? It's a real thing. It's an Israeli cutout. What is the likelihood that the judge is a proud member of the ZOA, Zionist Organization of America? Right? I doubt mainstream media or your congressman would have much interest in picking up your cause, not with AIPAC as such a valuable ally. This situation might be okay if it weren't for the fact that Israel, the nation state, is working hand in glove with these organizations, which in turn work hand in hand with the United States government. And there are bills being passed in state houses around America quietly outlawing anti-Semitism. So even pointing to this collusion will be punishable by law. At the end of the day, they'll impose digital ID on everyone and use AI to fully integrate all government services, data, entertainment, and the economy and education fully into the BlackRock MassX, that's maximum exploitation mainframe, and simply price you out of opposing them. And then I have to say that for legal reasons, this is pure fantasy because I'm not trying to get sued. But that's just like a small little collection of just like some of the methods that they have employed in the last few years to silence dissidents against their personal ethnostate. So it's like this already exists. Stop Anti-Semitism is already destroying people's lives here in America for their crimes against, you know, crimes of speech. The, you know, Lawyers Guild apparently is operating this way. You've got the Canary Mission. You've got the Lawfare Project. You've got Stand With Us. These things are funded with millions of dollars, and they provide pro bono lawyers, the best in the world, to go argue in favor of censorship in many cases or whatever the, you know, these organizations want to pull off. So this control grid already exists to a very, very powerful degree in a purely private capacity. They're basically trying to codify this and have the U.S. justice system complicit in their tyranny. From the underscore DP underscore show on X, he says, more weaponized Zionist government BS coming to an American like you. Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes have both been named as possible domestic terrorists, according to the Trump administration's top counterterrorism official, Sebastian Gorka. Gorka has signaled that he wants Joe Kent's old position. Joe Kent, of course, who resigned on morals and principles in speaking out against the Israeli government, quote, our greatest ally. Now, why is this weaponized Zionist government BS, you ask? Well, I'll tell you. In February 2017, U.S. Congressman Trent Franks, co-chair of the Israel Allies Caucus, publicly called Sebastian Gorka, quote, the staunchest friend of Israel and the Jewish people. In March of 2017, Sarah M. Stern of the Endowment for the Middle East Truth, EMET, pro-Israel organization, described Gorka as a true friend of Israel and the Jewish people. March through December 2017, ongoing Zionist Organization of America, ZOA, an influential conservative pro-Israel lobbying group, and President Morton Klein forcefully defended Gorka against Nazi ties accusations, calling him a proud American patriot and a faithful friend of the state of Israel and the Jewish people. Gorka later appeared on Klein's program and vice versa. May 2017, Gorka spoke to the Jerusalem Post annual conference to a pro-Israel Jewish audience, framed media attacks on him and Trump administration as backlash for being pro-Israel and friends of Israel, called Israel U.S.'s closest ally, and received cheers and applause. In 2017, Gorka headlined the International Institute for Counterterrorism annual conference at the IDC Herzliya Academic Israeli Academic Government Adjacent Counterterrorism Entity, praised the Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu's analysis on Iran and terrorism. May 24th through 26, 2019, around AIPAC Policy Conference, Gorka spoke at a separate NC SY, National Conference of Synagogue Youth, event tied to Israel advocacy during AIPAC conference in Washington, D.C., described as extremely pro-Israel with a speech on fighting anti-Semitism and supporting Israel's defense. Quote, the peace process is dead. Support Israel so it can defend itself. Students from the Jewish school attended in Israeli advocacy context. 2022, Gorka co-led with Dinesh D'Souza a Stand With Israel tour and trip to Israel via his Salem radio network show. September 25, Gorka delivered a keynote address at ICT 25, Shabbatai Shavit World Summit on Counterterrorism at Reichman University, Israel, hosted by International Institute for Counterterrorism. December 12, 2025, Gorka gave keynote remarks at Hudson Institute's Anti-Semitism as National Security Threat Conference, which is a U.S.-based think tank with strong Israel focus, counterterrorism focus, highlighted U.S.-Israeli ties, embassy moved to Jerusalem, and murdered Israeli embassy staff. 2019 through 2025, media hosting period as host of America First with Sebastian Gorka on Salem Media Group, conservative Christian network, which, by the way, is run by somebody who is a registered foreign agent for Israel. Oh, they get to that. Great. Gorka frequently discussed pro-Israel topics. Salem's chief strategy officer, Brad Parscale's separate Clock Tower X LLC, registered under FARA as an agent for the Israeli Ministry of Foreign Affairs to integrate Israeli government messaging into the Salem network properties. There's no direct Gorka Parscale tie or personal payment. In 25 to 26, as national security advisor, as deputy assistant slash senior director for counterterrorism in the National Security Council, Gorka emphasized strong U.S. and Israel counterterrorism operations, e.g. versus Iran slash Hezbollah, participated in CFR conversation and Hudson events praising Israel. What are Tucker and Nick known for? Criticizing the government and state of Israel. This isn't about if Tucker or Nick are right or wrong. This is about the First Amendment. I think he's exactly right. And I think calling out all of these connections to these Israeli First organization lets you know what Sebastian Gorka's real motivation is. And again, understanding that he is, you know, seeking this top counterterrorism position that was previously held by somebody who resigned because of Israel's influence. And this guy is clearly an Israeli agent of some sort or another. And then you have the new counterterrorism strategy, which, as it says from Ken, as Ken Klippenstein writes, new counterterror strategy eyes Tucker Carlson. The administration deems anti-Trump right-wingers terrorists. Two right-wing figures, Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes, have been named by the White House as possible domestic terrorists, according to the Trump administration's top counterterrorism official. Sebastian Gorka, himself a former right-wing influencer turned NSC principal, has been making his rounds on conservative media, explaining the meaning and purpose behind the president's new counterterrorism strategy. Between grandiose monologues about his vision of a crusade to save Western civilization from anti-American and anti-Christian extremism, Gorka let slip that the administration's war on domestic terrorism isn't just aimed at the left. It targets anyone who isn't in line with the broader MAGA agenda. While Trump's National Security Directive NSPM7 explicitly singles out the left with the list of so-called terrorism indicators, many of them could also describe people on the right as well. The new counterterrorism strategy, Gorka's brainchild, identifies three groups as priorities for the administration: narco-terrorists, Islamist terrorists, and violent left-wing extremists. Nowhere in this document does it mention right-wing extremists, and while that may have led those on the right to believe they are immune, Gorka's remarks make clear they are not. Asked by Breitbart editor-in-chief Alex Marlow if there's any right-wing terror, right-wing extremism threat, Gorka replied by pointing to former Fox News host Tucker Carlson and streamer Nick Fuentes, both of whom have become vocal critics of the Trump administration, arguing they aren't actual conservatives anyway, which is the exchange we just saw. Gorka's charge that Carlson lauds Sharia law is, to put it lightly, ridiculous, because obviously Tucker Carlson is not in favor of Sharia law. He's talking about how these other countries like Japan, Russia, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, people are self-confident when they're really pleased with what they're doing and they believe their system is the right system. That self-confidence results in a kind of welcoming attitude. So you'll be sitting in a dinner at dinner in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, and you'll say, you know, I'm just really kind of a pro-Jesus, like I'm a Christian. And they'll be like, that's so great. So again, he's saying that basically the threat of Islam is overthrown. That doesn't mean he is supportive of Sharia law. But I also would point out, like, what does conservative mean? To me, Sharia law, I mean, if you're talking about conservatism in just the dictionary definition of the word, Sharia law definitely ain't liberal, right? And I've gotten crap online about this. I don't know what definition people are using, but I'm like, well, Muslims are conservative. And they're like, you idiot, you think Muslims are, you moron. It's like, I'm sorry, they don't let women out of the house. What do you think, they're feminists? You think they're liberals? No, they're against America. They're against Christianity. They don't like white people, obviously. And they're still conservative. That's still a word with a meaning outside of America or outside of our immediate political divide. So I don't even know what that's supposed to mean. Like, if you're in favor of Sharia law, you're probably a conservative person. Doesn't mean you love America, but that's not also what conservative means. Ken Klippenstein continues, I'm an absolutist when it comes to free speech for the right and the left and anyone outside or inside of the spectrum. Gorka, as a government official, has no business sticking his nose into whether people define America the same way he does. But let's be real. None of this is about extremism. It's about the fact that Carlson, like Fuentes, recently broke with Trump bitterly over the Iran war. That's the real offense. And, of course, oppose his action at the behest of Israel. And that's the, you know, counterterrorism thing that's going on, the new strategy that Gorka put together. But it gets crazier. This is from May 8th. Ex-Trump official sounds alarm on doomsday plot White House can exploit. A former official offered a chilling warning of what President Donald Trump could do if he enacts a secret catalog of Cold War era executive orders. A former former official from Donald Trump's first term is sounding the alarm about a so-called doomsday book that could deliver the president unprecedented power if he acts upon it. Miles Taylor, who resigned as Homeland Secretary's chief of staff in 2019, writes that the White House has a secret catalog of pre-drafted executive orders that, if enacted, would allow Trump to do extraordinary things like effectively invoking martial law. The book dates back to Dwight D. Eisenhower's administration, which developed so-called PEADs, Presidential Emergency Action Documents, and gathered them into a single instructional book, only to be opened in an extreme scenario such as a nuclear attack on Washington. The manual was written amid the Cold War with the understanding it should be opened only in an emergency that threatened the future of the United States. However, Taylor writes for the iPaper that there's a real fear in Washington that Trump may misuse these executive orders. The Brennan Center for Justice revealed in 2024 that the secret PADS would grant a president power to detain civilians, suspend communications, censor the press, establish military areas, and freeze or seize property, all with a stroke of a pen. Now, again, this would be the type of thing that, you know, in 2020, we would have celebrated Donald Trump using to crack down on the nightly riots across the entire country by Black Lives Matter. Didn't do that, and didn't feel the need to put a stop to any of that. However, what is the likelihood that he invokes something like this or, you know, invokes some of these measures in the name of Israel for the state of Israel, perhaps after a false flag attack? Either an so-called anti-Semitic one, where he says, oh, this is crazy, we have to shut down the whole country, or an attack on by Iran or whoever else. He has these powers in hand. And of course, when I first heard this, my comment was, he's just waiting for Palantir to get fully installed, right? Palantir is integrating itself into our healthcare and into our welfare system and into, you know, bank transactions and being used by the IRS and just absolutely everybody. And it, of course, is the, you know, control system who the people that run it can't help themselves but constantly, you know, brag about, and sort of they're like vibrating with excitement about the idea that they get to just like kill people with a click of a button, anybody who opposes them. And of course, we know that in Israel, merely disagreeing with them is seen as valid reason to exterminate somebody. How often have we pointed out and have you seen Israeli officials in a house where the entire family has been killed, holding up a copy of something like Mein Kampf and saying, do you see why we did this? Do you see why this was a good thing that we did? Do you see why this is justified now that we killed this whole family? They think bad thoughts. They don't like us. So of course we had to kill them. So that mindset is what's insinuating itself here in America, where if you merely disagree, or if you point out the inconsistencies, or if you illustrate the very connections I'm now elaborating, you're seen not only as anti-Semitic and anti-Israel and a dangerous domestic terrorist, but, you know, worthy of execution. And there's a very real, you know, threat of the people in power here in America invoking this sort of thing, since they are the very same people in many cases who are doing it already in Israel. And just understand that when it comes to Israel, as an American, you know, white Christian person, you land on the Palestine line of that dichotomy, according to the people in Israel, right? You might like what Israel is doing. You might, you know, be in support of them, But if you're not one of them, then you're one of us. Okay. You're one of the Palestinians. You're one of the outsiders. Do you see how they treat them? So just so we understand. Sebastian Gorka, of course, celebrated the censorship of everybody, but in particular, Alex Jones in 2018. And I again want to sort of illustrate where this is going with a clip from Larry Fink, head of BlackRock and now president of the World Economic Forum. Clip number one here. This is Larry Fink about what he defines as domestic terror and the type of domestic terror that he's worried about raising its head. Let's watch clip number one. Number one.
But now, because of drone warfare, we have to relook at all forms of security and the need for rebuilding the GCC region to rebuild it to so that it's going to be in a position where it's not going to be obstructed by drone warfare. So a lot of many more things are going to have to be underground. But even here in the United States, if we're going to be building, let's say, these 1 gigawatt data centers, how do we make sure we're not protecting those $50 billion, $75 billion investments? We have to relook at everything because of the role of drone warfare. Right now we're looking at it internationally, but you know, one of my concerns is, could it be a domestic terrorism using a $3,000 drone? So all of these things are actually opportunities, not problems. It's going to require, as we said, trillions of dollars of capital. Governments cannot build these out alone. They don't have the wherewithal. And two, their deficits are started to be mounting. And we spend too little time talking about the U.S. deficits and other countries' deficits. So this is going to all be the role of private sector.
Okay. So that's Larry Fink, who at this moment is in China with Donald Trump as an envoy, I guess, for America, if he even pretends to care about us. And he's talking about how the threats to the data centers should be treated like domestic terror. That's because the data centers are an integral part of the digital panopticon that's being established right now that will be inevitably turned against people who have not committed a crime but do oppose the state of Israel or do call out the split loyalty of the likes of Sebastian Gorka or even Mike Huckabee. And I'll show you a video from him in just a second. But all of these things are going into place. They are sort of loosening up the definition of domestic terror. They are actually explicitly defining anti-Zionism as anti-Semitism and anti-Semitism as hate speech or violent speech of some sort. An attack, if you, you know, merely disagree with or point out the inconsistencies of the statements made by our greatest ally, so-called. They're building the digital infrastructure to enforce this. You now have not only American politicians and people in power advocating for treating language like a threat, putting in anti-Semitism laws in places like Florida, and enforcing this stuff. It's like all of these various pieces are being slotted together. And once it's in place, that's it. That's it. Because like I said, even talking about the control system is in violation of the strictures of hate speech and anti-Semitism. Israel is involved in setting up a giant, you know, digital panopticon here in America with the help and advice of pro-Israel / Jewish organizations here in America. Can't talk about that. That's anti-Semitic. You'll be killed by a drone.
We have to get more people hired. We have to finish the new big studios. We have to have our legal defense and offense. And we have to move forward. So now is the time. Have we not delivered to you in the fight against tyranny? Have you not delivered supporting us at Symbiotic? A win-win situation. Like he says in Gladiator after he chops up, you know, the four guys just a few seconds. He says, are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? And I say, are you not empowered? Are the tyrants not scared? Are they not coming after me and my crew? You want somebody to fight? You want somebody to stand up for you? Well, then you got to back them. And those that have backed us, I salute you from the bottom of my heart. And those that have shared the articles and videos, that's great. But it's different classes of people. The people that tune in and get the knowledge, but are scared or lazy or whatever. Then there's people that at least share the articles and videos and Paul revere it. We appreciate you. Okay? So you got like copper, you know, on the bottom. At least you listen, but I hope people learn from this through osmosis or something. Then you got the silver folks that at least share the articles and videos to wake up other people. And then you got the gold standard, the people that do it all, and the people that get great products that are smart enough to say, wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about. I believe him. He'd only sell me something that works. And then they try it. We have a 90%+ reorder rate with supplements because I wouldn't sell you something that doesn't work. I'm not stupid. That's why I don't serve evil. I know the second, third, fourth order events of it will destroy me. Plus, I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I feel good being truthful. I feel good being honest. I feel good stomping tyrants politically into the ground nonviolently. Slashing their throats nonviolently. Stabbing ice picks into their heads nonviolently. Cutting their heads off nonviolently. Ripping their entrails out politically nonviolently. I like just breaking their bones and grinding them down to make my bread. Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell the blood of satanic globalist scum. Be they alive or be they dead, I'll grind their bones to make my bread. You want somebody to fight for you? Well, you better believe you got it. The real McCoy, the spirit of resistance and victory, and they know it, and it's why they fear it. And if you will simply join me and ask God for this spirit to lead, guide, and direct us, the spirit that overcomes, God doesn't give us over to a spirit of weakness and fear, but one is a roaring lion that conquers, that destroys tyrants, that overcometh. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against it. And we are the crucible. We are the shield of the people. We are the standard. We have the spirit. We have the will. But we have to have no fear and commit to this fight. Give me your word of mouth. Give me your prayers to God for our providence and support, because if God be with us, who can stand against us? And financially support us now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a VIP. Cancel any time. It's no commitment. You just get all the best deals. $30 a month spend, instantly $40 to buy whatever you want. You make 10 bucks right there. Special offers, sales on top of sales for everybody, and special offers at thealexjonesstore.com. Commit. Be a VIP. You can also donate on the site with the donate button. Just take action now. But those of you that have supported us, you know who you are, and I thank you from the bottom of my soul.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today. Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is War Room Live. Support us at thealexjonesstore.com. We've got a ton of great products there that can help you to resist the poison that the modern world saturates the human body with. As well as, of course, keeps us on the air and in the fight. And a fight it is. I have an update to Chud the Builder's situation. He was supposed to come on and be interviewed with us at 4, but he was involved in a shooting just before the show went live. And we now have an update. Chud the Builder wounded in self-inflicted shooting outside of Tennessee courthouse. Tennessee District Attorney's Office tells TMZ that Chud the Builder is the suspect and is in police custody. The Montgomery Sheriff's Office announced two individuals involved in the incident, Chud the Builder and an unidentified male, sustained gunshot wounds. They were both hospitalized and both were listed in stable condition Wednesday afternoon. So that's good. Both men were taken into custody, officials said, describing the incident as a physical altercation that escalated into gunfire. Controversial streamer Chud the Builder was shot Wednesday outside of a Tennessee courthouse just days after his headline-making arrest at a Nashville steakhouse. The influencer, whose real name is Dalton Etherly, claims he was jumped outside of the courthouse, so he says he fired shots in self-defense, accidentally shooting himself during the altercation. He was live streaming at the time and remained online as he was speaking with emergency personnel in the aftermath of the incident. So again, I still haven't seen the video of that, so I don't know if that live stream went down or what, but if the crew finds that live stream, I would like to play it. But we got a lot to cover here in the meantime, and of course we hope he recovers and isn't too injured, and I'm glad the guy that he shot didn't die. That makes things a little bit simpler, I think. Not a murder charge, but yeah, it did escalate quickly. And the story that we've heard is basically he was attacked by a guy, sucker punched. The guy was hitting him over and over. He fired one bullet during this conflict, so I think grazed his own arm, but shot the guy, and they're both in stable condition. So that's some good news, even though we'd rather not have our guest being shot. But there you go. Prayers for Chud. Prayers up for Chud. Now, I got so many videos to get to in this last segment. Let's just get to them, okay? Let's start with clip 26 here. Or, I'm sorry, this is clip 28. Clip 28. This is a ex-user named Liam Out Loud talking about how the West went completely insane. Let's watch.
If you felt like the Western world has gone insane over the last decade, you're not wrong. The madness has a name. Political ponderology, the study of how psychopaths take over societies. According to Polish psychiatrist Andrew Lobachowski, psychopaths, sociopaths, and individuals with deep psychological disorders infiltrate institutions, not by merit or integrity, but by their unrivaled ability to lie, manipulate, and destroy. The result is pathocracy, a system ruled by the disorder, where moral, competent, and sane people are pushed out, silenced, or destroyed. Here's how it unfolds. Essential psychopaths rise to the top. Lacking empathy, driven by narcissism, manipulation, and sadism, they view society as a playground of power. In a corrupted system, their evil traits aren't a liability, they're an asset. Schizoids serve as the ideological architects. Detached and theoretical, they create inhuman policies with utopian logic. Lockdowns, depopulation agendas, safe supply drug programs, all coldly detached from their human cost. Spellbinders are the charismatic mouthpieces. Celebrities, pundits, and influencers who captivate the public with slogans about equity and safety, disguising tyranny as compassion. The spellbound are true believers. Hypnotized. These are the foot soldiers of the regime, convinced they're on a moral crusade while defending totalitarianism. Adapted conformists know better, but comply. They just follow orders to keep their jobs, reputations, or social standing, gradually numbing their conscience in the process. The resistors see through it all. They retain empathy and moral clarity, but are hunted, censored, and scapegoated for refusing to kneel. Then there's the bystanders. The majority of the population who are confused or afraid, some slowly adopt the regime's norms just to avoid conflict. Their silence enables the system to metastasize. Look around. Violent criminals are freed while whistleblowers exposing government corruption are harassed and threatened. Kids are taught gender dogma while literacy collapses. Bureaucrats push equity while freezing bank accounts. None of this is accidental. It's the end state of ponderogenesis. In a pathocracy, truth is treason, insanity is extremism. The system rewards the disorder and punishes the moral. This is not liberalism. It's not progress. It's a psychological coup. Until we recognize that we're not fighting bad ideas, but pathological people, we will keep losing ground. This is not left versus right. It's sanity versus madness. And until sanity takes power back, the collapse will continue.
Absolutely. Very well put. And one of the exemplars of this, I would say, is Mike Huckabee, the current ambassador to Israel from America, supposedly, although it could go the other way around. Here's him not just sort of co-signing what Sebastian Gorka says about Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes being domestic terrorists, but actually getting involved in extrajudicial ways to punish them for their thoughts. Here's the American ambassador to Israel, Mike Huckabee. Let's watch.
Where he began, essentially, was to accuse the president of Israel, our mutual friend, yeah, Isaac Herzog, one of the most honorable and decent men
truly in the country. Truly one of the nicest people ever. Yeah.
Tucker accused him of being in league with Jeffrey Epstein into going to this pedophile, sexual deviant island. He called it Pedo Island. This was a brutal attack, and you called him on it, And he kept pressing you. Is it? Mm-hmm. How do you not even know this? As a father, as a husband, as an ambassador to protect the American people, why aren't you calling out President Herzog for him being in league with Jeffrey Epstein? He said, will you call him? Will you confront him?
Yeah.
You did call
the
president. What was the response?
Well, the response was that the date that Tucker claimed President Herzog was on Pedo Island, he was actually speaking in front of 1,000 people in Tel Aviv. So his alibi is pretty ironclad. More importantly, he'd never met Epstein, didn't know who he was. I mean, he heard of him. I strongly have suggested that President Herzog should sue Tucker Carlson. And what happened after that, when it became evident that Tucker was totally wrong, Tucker pulled that segment out of his interview. He apologized. But the damage is done.
Yeah.
And I still hope that President Herzog, because it's one thing to...
You still hope that he sues?
I really do, because the only reason that people change the kind of really evil behavior that Tucker is doing when he accuses people of being a pedophile is when there's accountability and there are consequences for doing those sort of things.
The First Lady of France is suing Candace Owens
Good.
For constantly calling her
a man. Ridiculous.
It's just insane.
Absurd. It is
you can
absurd.
Disagree with the Macrons on something, but this has become libel and slander and legally
level of defamation
actionable.
That
defamation.
I feel like worthy of a lawsuit, because if people like Candace or Tucker can be held accountable for the outrageous things they do and say that hurt people and hurt their reputations and hurt their livelihood, then maybe others will be forewarned not to be so outrageously incorrect and vicious.
So there's the ambassador, the American ambassador to Israel, saying that he encouraged foreigners to sue Tucker Carlson, even though Tucker Carlson apparently got something wrong and apologized for it. I'm not sure. I don't even know the details of this, but because as I was listening to it, I was like, well, it just sounds like he got the wrong president. It was Ehud Barak that was intimately tied in to Jeffrey Epstein and in all of the emails, maybe just got the wrong person. Regardless, he like apologized. He's like, oh, okay, it wasn't him. Sorry, that was my bad. I'll take it out of the, I'll take it out of my broadcast. And Huckabee's like, it's not good enough. He should still be sued. But it looks like this may have been the cause of it. Times journalist posted AI generated picture of Isaac Herzog and Jeffrey Epstein. So Gabrielle Sylvia, how do I pronounce that? Yeah, I'm not going to say that. I don't know why. What did you call me? Okay. A journalist for UK-based Times apologized after posting a fake AI-generated photo showing Israeli President Isaac Herzog with Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. So maybe he just fell for some fake news, but apparently, according to Mike Huckabee, you should be destroyed over that, because how dare you? How dare you do that? So again, he, just like Sebastian Gorka, it's like, it's not about, oh my God, he got the wrong Israeli president, and then apologized for it. It's seen as evidence of like terroristic mindset or something from these people. So these are the types of psychopaths that we have running things who are encouraged in their psychopathy by the other psychopaths. You know, the people that don't see their fellow human beings as human beings, the people that Jeffrey Epstein would email and casually drop terms like goy, dehumanizing all those who aren't Jewish, that type of extremist Jewish supremacist rhetoric that they just throw about casually, not exactly, temporizing their language because it's not polite in polite company. No, they all are on the same page. They all talk like this behind the scenes because they're all psychopaths that elevate themselves above the rest of humanity, and they think it gives them the right to control us, and if we resist, dispatch us. So that's the real concern I have right now, not the people like Tucker Carlson simply talking about that and pointing that out. So that's the American ambassador. And all of this, of course, went from Larry Fink talking about the AI centers being targeted by people and that potentially being domestic terrorism. So, I mean, they're literally setting it up to where opposing the control grid is seen as terrorism, and the control grid itself will be activated to crush you. It's protecting itself, and they're setting up these tripwires to ensure their continued control. Let's go now to clip 30. This is brilliant analyst Matt Kim talking about how AI data centers are in fact the backbone and the infrastructure for the control grid that's being implemented right now. It ain't about sharing videos on Twitter. It ain't about doing AI creations. It's actually being built by the U.S. military for integration into the global surveillance control panopticon. Let's go to clip 30.
Trending in the news right now is the taking of people's land and homes to make room for data centers and the infrastructure required to support them. Especially here in Georgia, this is becoming a big issue. Families losing their longtime homes to make way for expanding electricity lines to power these monstrosities. And to understand what we're dealing with, I think it's important to understand how we got here. Because this isn't just a zoning fight. This is what happens when AI infrastructure becomes a national priority. Immediately after Trump returned to office, the administration announced Project Stargate, $500 billion of investment into AI infrastructure and data centers throughout the country. Then ICE and DHS starting rolling through cities, picking up illegals. And I told you I don't like the idea of mobilizing federal power inside American cities. But you said, damn right, it's worth it because it's for our safety. And then a year later, the United States went into Venezuela, took their leader, and opened the door for American oil interests. And you said, damn right, we're America. We can do what we want. Over the last year, we normalized the idea of government overreach, as long as it was aimed at someone else, as long as it was framed as safety, as long as it was framed as national interest, as long as it was framed as America winning, you were okay with it. Now, Trump talks about how much foreign countries and companies are investing into America. Well, nearly $2 trillion of that investment is for AI, data centers, energy infrastructure, chips, and computing power. Trump talks about how the U.S. tech companies have committed new money to the American economy. Well, that $3 trillion is also tied to AI and the data centers required to feed it. This isn't just some private side project. This is Trump's industrial and economic policy. It's framed as a new global arms race. And when something becomes a national priority, locals' consent becomes secondary. I see people in conservative counties now making pleas to the government and politicians asking for help, saying this isn't right. They can't just take our land. They can't destroy our community. But the exact people you're begging for help are the same people who tied their own success to these data centers. The politicians, the utilities, the developers, the economic development class, the people standing behind the podiums bragging about investment numbers, those are the same people you are now asking to save you. And that's why when the entire county doesn't want them, they happen anyway. They are not ignoring you because they don't hear you. They are ignoring you because this was already decided. Because the people you thought were working in your interest sold you out long ago. The machine you cheered for when it was pointed at someone else hits different when it's pointed at your own property line.
Very well said by Matt Kim. He says they're not ignoring you because they can't hear you. They're ignoring you because it's already been decided. Foreign capital, tech companies, infrastructure policy. And of course, this is all geared towards AI, and AI itself, as we know from the likes of Jonathan Greenblatt, is already being dictated to what it's supposed to believe and what it's supposed to suppress. They say the ADL has agents inside and working with and exercising authority over OpenAI and Claude and absolutely every AI, as they do in every social media company. So this is about suppressing information that could prevent their plan from coming to fruition. And of course, you need all of this server space. You need all of these data centers to handle the amount of data that will be collected when we all have digital ID and the Internet of Things is constantly spying on us. Obviously, digital ID is being insinuated into everyday life in a variety of different ways. Usually it's age restrictions on social media or YouTube or anywhere else. But of course, the King of England yesterday made a direct statement about digital ID. Let's go now to that clip.
My ministers will also proceed with the introduction of digital ID that will modernize how citizens interact with public services.
Mm-hmm. How they interact with public services or private services, or whether you're allowed to remain anonymous online, because so much of this is focused on silencing people's ability to speak out, making sure that anything you say is directly related to you, because they're building a social credit score network. And of course, the propaganda to go along with it. We know that Israel, the country, dedicated $500 million last year to the propaganda front, $700 million this year to the propaganda front. And this, of course, is being joined by the likes of Alexander Soros, which, going by the dichotomy supported by Sebastian Gorka and Ambassador Huckabee and all the other Israeli first politicians, Alexander Soros would represent the height of conservatism, right? Because he's paying money to propagandize and censor people against Israel, and that's the only thing that matters. So staunch conservative Alex Soros just donated a whole bunch of money through the Open Society Foundation, clip number 20. Here's him announcing that.
Hi, I'm Alex Soros. As the son of a Holocaust survivor and a Jew, I am acutely aware of the dangers of anti-Semitism. I'm also proudly married to a Muslim American. Discrimination and hate are an abstract concepts to me or my family. They're deeply personal and have been persistent throughout our lives. Today, the Open Society Foundations are committing $30 million to organizations fighting anti-Semitism and anti-Muslim hate around the United States and across the world. At a moment like this, we need to stand together and act. This investment is about keeping people safe and pushing back against hate.
Yeah, not anti-Christianism, I guess. With Trump on the rampage, Alex Soros takes control of his father's empire. What will he do with his influence? I don't know, embarrass himself and look like an idiot and perpetuate the anti-Christian hate that all of this is actually focused towards. But here's my thing. I don't think that I want to see where this money's going, because I have an idea. Like, if I was them, I wouldn't be trying to like publish stories that are like good about Israel. Like, I wouldn't stick with the typical methods by which they supposedly fight against quote unquote anti-Semitism. It would more be in line of like putting out stories that get people used to the idea of being spied on all the time, or like, is it going towards anti-Semitism? Like, you're going to actually go, stop people that are calling for the, murder of Jews? Or is this going to be used to manufacture consent for the digital control grid being imposed on the basis of anti-Semitism? I have to wonder. And of course, I love how he calls George Soros a Holocaust survivor. It's like, he's a Holocaust survivor. Flashback, and it's just get in the train car, get in the train car, Jew. And he's just like, that's what he did. Everybody knows that, right? George Soros literally helped to confiscate Jewish possessions as they were loaded into train cars and shipped to the East. That's how he survived the Holocaust. So good thing he got away. Let's go to clip number 20 now, because this is where it all, coalesces together and tells you what this is really all about. And I'm running out of time. So let's just go to clip number two here. This is Canada's version of Warren Buffett. His name's Bruce Flatt. He's the CEO of Brookfield Corporation. And here's what he has to say. This is where this all goes. This is what all of this is about. All of the censorship, all of the DHS, ICE, the quick reaction forces that they're there to stop domestic uprisings and the domestic terror, new counterterrorism plan. It has nothing to do with terror. It's about establishing the control grid to dictate your thoughts and what you're allowed to believe and what you're allowed to say and where you're allowed to go. And if you disobey them, they can kill you. That's the establishment they're trying to create. Here's them kind of admitting it. Let's watch.
We've been, and we still are, and for the next 10 years we will be, rewiring the global economy to lay the networks that we laid before, which were highways, utilities, railways, and now we're laying cloud, artificial intelligence factories, and data centers. And that, on the fundamental basis, that's what's happening. So there will be $10 trillion from power, AI, factories, data centers, and fiber build out laid to basically rewire the world.
We can take him down. So that's the World Economic Forum head sitting next to Canada's Warren Buffett as they talk about rewiring the world. which is exactly what BlackRock has been doing. We have to force behaviors, ESG. I mean, they are the font of the censorship, the ESG, the foreign offshoring, the no longer hiring white men. It all comes from them. They commit these crimes. They get away with them for some reason because they're rewiring the world so that part like ownership is ended and you will own nothing and you will be happy. That's actually what they're going for. And people don't understand what the end goal of this is. Here's the secret. Let's watch clip 26.
Okay, I want to talk about one of the biggest, actually the biggest discovery of all humankind is happening right now. And I don't think anybody is talking about it. I don't know why. So I want to talk about it in this video. It is bigger than the Industrial Revolution. It is bigger than the advent of the internet. It is bigger than Amazon. Is it bigger than Apple? It's bigger than the iPhone, Google, social media. It is bigger. It is bigger than AI. And it's happening right now. Nobody's talking about it. And it is, in actuality, the fountain of youth has been discovered. And I want to talk about it. So in 2016, a researcher, last name Yamanaka, I can't remember his first name, I believe it was 2016, discovered these proteins that essentially reverse the damage of DNA. And so I want to talk about a little bit of biochemistry for a second so you can understand exactly what's going on, and it's going to blow your mind how this is all put together. So basically, right, in every single one of our cells, we have a copy of our DNA. And part of that DNA then codes for certain proteins in each cell. So like the eyeball cell codes for different proteins than the skin cells, then codes for different proteins in the hair, follicle cells, all that stuff. So, but during when we live, right, we encounter lots of damage to our DNA. And so the DNA gets changed over time. It gets damaged. But we also, our bodies are pretty good at...
All right. So, again, he goes on about this, but essentially he's explaining that aging in humans is the reality, what it actually functionally is the deconstruction of DNA over time as it replicates itself imperfectly. And they have found that they can actually put a chemical on a cell and then revert it to a stem cell. And then they found if they put less of that chemical, it still reverts, but not all the way back. And they have actually successfully reversed aging in things like mice and monkeys, to where old gray-haired, wrinkly monkeys, they lose the wrinkles, they lose the gray hair, and they de-age. Why is this not being reported? Because they don't want you to know about it until they get the control system in place. The people in power think that they are on the cusp of immortality, of anti-aging. They think they're going to live forever. So they are frantically building the data centers to be the infrastructure needed to control a population and live forever. They're setting up the permanent global government as we speak. And that's why they're so insistent and frantic and doing it so quickly, because they want to live forever and they don't want to wait to take the Fountain of Youth potion. That's what it's all about.
Huge new mega sale, and it's a fundraiser for the new network. We need your support. Plus, the products are incredible. Up to 40% off on methylene blue tincture and methylene blue caps. We have the best. You're insane if you don't take it. Ultra DNA Revival, that has all of the super nutrients in it that supercharge your whole body, like NAD, you name it. Up to 35% off methylene red tincture, the bovine colostrum, the MK Ultra brain booster, 30% off all apparel. There's not much market for the apparel. So that is a huge deal. Shirts, hats, hoodies, with the widest selection, the alexjonesstore.com. I need your support. Ultramethylene blue gummies, the first run, they're super strong. It's even stronger than, it's the same company, but the way they make it, it's really concentrated when it goes into the gummy. 58% off, that's about to end. And it goes on and on and on. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And finally, the sister site of TheAlexJonesStore.com, RealAlexJones.com. They just hold back. It's a sister site because we kept it separate from InfoWars. That was the site that went to just build the fledgling Alex Jones network. And so they always hold back 10% of inventory, where it's coins or knives or collectible, you know, limited edition t-shirts or Faraday bags. They hold it back. So there's only a few hundred left of the five different designs, limited edition, laser engraved, World War II, but updated modern Skull Crusher, Brass Knuckles, 10-inch double-edged stainless steel razor sharp. Your last chance to get those at an incredibly low price, only $79. These knives are like 100-something bucks in stores. TheAlexJonesStore.com doesn't have them, only RealAlexJones.com. And there's other deals that are only at RealAlexJones.com, so be sure and take advantage of that and check it out. If something's sold out, The Alex Jones Store, check out RealAlexJones.com. Hour number two, straight ahead. Check the live feeds now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.